This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings and good-looking people. And remember, you're good-looking because you're always looking for and finding the good. Barry Shore here with the Joy of Living, brought to you by that magical, magnificent platform called Internet Radio. And you have tuned in to K4HD, that's K for night, the number 4, H for happiness, D for delightful, K4HD.com. And this is The Joy of Living, brought to you by Barry Shore at Venice Beach, California, overlooking the vast Pacific Ocean. Yes, from high atop Venice Beach, we can see the entire Pacific Ocean. How's that for a bird's eye view of life? And if you ever miss a minute, and we hope you don't, or you want to share, which we hope you do, as I say, give me five, you can go to BarryShore.com, BarryShore, BarryShore.com, and find this particular segment, which you will want to share because we have somebody quite amazing with us today who's going to rock your boat and shake your world and make you so happy that you tuned in. Because remember, the joy of living is about one thing only. You. Y-O-U. E-W-E. It's all about becoming the best you possible. That's why you tuned in, because you know that on this show, we have, thank God, over 257,800 people listening to us, 25,000 plus download this every time, and then share with other people. And we want to get over 1 million listeners, because then you really make a difference in the world. And that's the whole point of living, isn't it? To go mad. Mad, of course, is a good thing. It means go make a difference. Go make a difference. And on this show, we use a lot of acronyms, and we learn to see things in the most positive, purposeful, powerful way. So as an example, one of the great acronyms of life is WWW. If you ask any of your family or friends, what does it mean? Well, they'll say to you, that has to do with the internet, of course, right? You say, yeah, it could be, but that's a regular way of understanding. When you live with reframing and the art of living, you understand that WWW stands for What a Wonderful World, with, of course, a hat tip to the great Satchmo Louis Armstrong for bringing that song to the world and making it go viral. What a wonderful world. And what a is a word, W-H-A-T-A, what a wonderful world. So we have a couple of rituals on the show. One is that we say hello to people in different cities in the world. And this particular one is really fun. I just looked up and saw we're going to say hello to two different cities which have the same exact name in different parts of the world. And it's going to apply to something later that we'll talk about in the show. And again, on the show, I have to warn you in advance that your humble host does use four-letter F-U words. And that's because he has a lot of fun with them. Oh, right away. See, he just used it. Fun. F-U-N-N. Fun. Capital N-N. It's only spelled F-U-N. Not the way I spell it. F-U, capital N, capital N. So when you see your family or friends later today, say F-U, everybody, with a big smile on your face, because you know that it really means fun. Hello, that's the prerequisite to get into the joy of living. And when I said SMILE, because SMILE is also one of those great acronyms, maybe the best one you'll hear in, no, until I tell you the next one. SMILE stands for Seeing Miracles in Life Every Day. Wow! Which is also an acronym, which stands for Words of Wisdom. SMILE, Seeing Miracles in Life Every Day. But without further ado, let's say hello to people in Toronto, Canada. Yeah. Oh, wow. We have lots of questions coming up on the board. This is so good. Listeners' questions. Wow, there's some great ones. And they're coming in from Toronto, Canada. And I'm smiling as I'm saying it from another place called Toronto. It's Toronto, Ohio. In case you didn't know, there was another Toronto. It's Toronto, Canada, and Toronto, Ohio. Toronto, Canada, of course, is one of the great cities of the entire North American continent. It was, I think, first founded back in the late 17th century, and it was founded as a city called York, Y-O-R-K, and it's right there on one of the Great Lakes, which is called Lake Ontario, and it has, over the decades and centuries in this case, come into being in its own as one of the great cities of the world. I think it became Toronto around the 1830s or 40s, something like that. It has a population today somewhere around 2.5, almost 3 million people. And it's known for a couple of things. One is that it's an eclectic city, very New Yorkian in the sense that there are about almost 200 languages that are spoken in Toronto because it's a mecca, to use an interesting word in today's environment, and a hub for people from all over the world who want to come and live in a really good, clean environment. A bit cold during the winter, not my style, but a good, clean environment. People who like to go on lakes and people like to skate when things are frozen over. Ooh, just the thought of it. And of course, you have this thing called the CN Tower, which is one of the tallest buildings in the world. But that's Toronto. It's a major, pulsating city. It's a city of creativity. Not, of course, as creative as I think Los Angeles is, but it's a city of creativity. And we have, at the moment, 2,119 people listening to us from Toronto, Canada. So a big shout out to you in Toronto, Canada. And the other Toronto is not far away, actually. It's just across the border, which means into the United States of America, Toronto, Ohio. And Toronto, Ohio is on the far eastern part of the great state of Ohio, right on the river that is the Ohio River, of course, which is flowing into the Mississippi, the mighty Mississippi. It was, interestingly enough, if I'm not mistaken, it was incorporated in, I think, the year 1880 or 1881, and it was specifically named for Toronto, Canada. Because Toronto, Canada had already by that time become somewhat of a model of a good place to live and to grow and to build businesses and such like that. We have, thank God, right now, the population of Toronto, Ohio is all of, 2,400 people. Okay. But we have 86 people listening to us right now. So out of 2,400, that's a pretty high ratio. That would take about 70,000 people from Toronto if we use the same percentages. And I think Toronto, Ohio's claim to fame, in addition to being in Ohio, a name for Toronto is Clark Hinkle, grew up in Toronto, Ohio. He was a great football player for the Green Bay Packers. So those of you who know something about football and know that great name of Clark Hinkle, I mean, you can't make this stuff up, right? He was born there in Toronto, Ohio. So it's a fun, small town. And we wave hello to the people from both Torontos. And we are happy that you're here with us because it's all about you, Y-O-U. And the joy of living. And that's why you tuned in, because you're really here to hear about what you can do in your life to make it better. Because when you make your life better, you are affecting the entire world. And I happen to be, thank God, friends with a person who does affect the entire world because he is a creative artist. He has a rap sheet, and I say this in the most positive way. If you go on Wikipedia or something like that, he has a rap sheet that's pages long because he's a doer. He's a giver. He is an inspiration. He's a musician, a composer, a director, a producer, an entrepreneur. And I don't want to go on and on. I'll ask him to talk about some of the stuff himself. But without further ado, and a little bit of a drum roll, which he enjoys, and some fanfare, which he... Please welcome wonderful, fabulous, and always delightful Danny Kastner. Hello, Danny.
Woo! Yeah. All right, I'm going to open it up. Gary, you brought up Satchmo earlier, so I got a little gift for you. I hear Barry Shore with so much love every day. Bring the love with so much to say. I think to myself, what a joyous fairy world.
I'll tell you, not only does he make me smile and give a belly laugh, but he is just one of the most creative, loving beings you will ever have the pleasure of listening to. So, Danny, without further ado, first of all, tell us, where do you come from in the United States of America? Where are you living now? And just give a little bit of a rap, if you will, even with your plucking on your guitar strings, Froggy, if you remember that, some things that are happening in your life. Then I can ask you some more questions.
Sure, sure. So I was born in the great state of Michigan, but I grew up in Ohio on the west side of Cleveland.
Ooh,
and
nice.
Love Ohio, yeah. You know, like some people call it the Midwest, but kind of, you know, they also call the Nebraska the Midwest, so maybe it's more like the Mideast, right?
But it's peaceful. And, it's not the Mideast we know.
It's definitely a peaceful place. I mean, you know, sort of. Ohio's one of those interesting states, sort of divided. You have northern Ohio, which is more liberal, and you have southern Ohio, which is, you know, a little less liberal. So it's an interesting state, definitely. And, of course, the major cities in Ohio are Cleveland North, Columbus in the middle, and Cincinnati in the south. Grew up in Ohio, went to school at Cleveland State. I was just there last week visiting my school, which was really great for undergraduate. And then I went to school in Boston, to Boston University and MIT for music and computer music, and kind of integrate all those different things with creativity, with technology, and really enjoy things like this, like being on a podcast that hundreds of thousands and eventually, of course, millions will be listening to. And being in this space where we have this tool that allows such sharing and such reaching out and such continuity between what's going on in our own lives and what's going on in everyone's lives around us. So I love technology for that. And I hope we get to talk a little bit more about how you're using technology, because I love what you're doing with your app. It's just your apps, I guess, are incredible helping charities. So your entrepreneurialism is certainly one of the big inspirations to me. And I also want to bring up our mutual friend, Milana von Troub, who introduced us. So big shout out to Milana, who's amazing.
Yay, WM. I call her WM, wonderful Milana. And yes, big shout out. Yeah. Milana V. She is, by the way, she was also interviewed on, I'll have to send you the clip of it. It was really a great interview. But you mentioned a couple of things that I really want to focus on, because this is you. The word sharing, this is, in my humble opinion, the very soul of Danny Kay. And by the way, I like calling you Danny Kay, because when I even think of it, I see this amazing being called Danny Kay, K-A-Y-E, from another time, who was all about bringing forth joy and love and and enthusiasm into the world. And I see that's what you do with everything that you touch in the world of music and interactive technology. So the idea of sharing, talk to us a little bit about what you think social media is and what it can be and where it's going.
Sure, absolutely. And I'm glad you gave me the shout out to Danny Kaye, you know, because like, I'll bring up music. You know, my favorite movie of his is Hans Christian Andersen. That movie
is so fun,
and he's such a delight. It's really the only movie I've seen with him, but he lights up the screen, Danny Kaye. So I thank for that reference. And of course, through the great world of social media, you could find millions of videos of Danny Kaye, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, like, I think social media, it's really, because I've been with it, I came up with this term, it's called social network marketing in the early, 2000s when, you know, you had Friendster, and then you had MySpace, and you had Facebook, and you had these new social tools, and like, user-generated content was just starting, when it started out back then, it was very innocent, and it wasn't as everywhere. It wasn't like in everybody's phones and constantly pervasive. And at the time when I was thinking of that, clearly there's this ability for not only you and I to connect and be connected, but for people to reach out and connect to others and to inspire others. And so it's interesting. I actually literally did this totally nerdiest thing the other day as I scrolled through my Instagram posts on two accounts, because I have a foundation called Stop Wrecks Against Distracted Driving. Actually, I have a couple of accounts. And then I have my own account, Danny Kastner, on Instagram, right? So I was scrolling through, and I literally kind of wanted to see how much I was being advertised to, how much I was being promoted to, how much were just sort of genuine personal stories. So I kind of broke it down in people who do a lot of traveling, others who just do fun facts, advertising, self-promotion, and then people promoting their business. And when I say self-promotion, I mean like typically that's like an influencer. And then maybe another little category is those who just are on there to inspire. And one thing that kind of fascinated me about where like Instagram's gone is people have, you know, really migrated to Instagram on a huge level and kind of left Facebook behind. But I think Instagram, just looking out, I tend to be a futurist. I think it's got like another 2-year life cycle where before people will get, I think, overwhelmed by the promotional aspect of it, and will look to the next thing. Now, having said that, I think put all the data issues aside and things like that. I love how Facebook was much more interactive in terms of communication. You could really see the comments and threads, and it was a little more personal. So another challenge for your listeners is to go through, if you have both, go through Facebook, just scroll and see the kind of what you're seeing there, and then scroll through Instagram. And I think, as I discovered, the Facebook stories and messages and communication is still more personal, and it's still a little bit more me and my friends. And I just experienced that as I went back to Cleveland, and I was able to invite people I went to college with through Facebook. I found them, I messaged them and connected with them, and they were able to come to this little alumni awards thing that I went to. And so I think it's finding the balance with social media and understanding you're going to get marketed to and you're going to get advertising to based on your preferences. You know, big whoop. You look at it or you don't, right? And hopefully now the way Facebook is owning, you know, the way data integrity gets to move towards. They have this big research project that they're running now. And I think they have good intent, but let's not forget that like Google's already known all this stuff about us forever. Let's not forget that, you know, like, Xperia? Who was the one that had like, you know, the 80 million record data breach of our own personal records from one of the big,
of the three.
Yeah. And so like, you know, that's the world we live in. So when you step into the online world, or you step into a credit card or anything, there is personal information you're sharing. So I think it's looking at that responsibly and just saying, yes, I live in that world, and that's what I'm part of. But also then not shying away from the opportunity to connect with others, to share, to be. Going back to what Instagram is to me, which is, largely self or business or advertising promotional. And incidentally, 1 in 5 posts in Facebook and Instagram is an ad. So I was counting those just to see how much we were being advertised to, right? Social media is such an amazing opportunity. And people like yourself, Barry, this is the vehicle for you to reach millions. It is the vehicle for when I create music to reach out and inspire others. And so it's all what you make of it and all what you seek out and find within social media and how it can and gets to be this tool of inspiration. And I think that's going to be the next wave.
I love this idea.
Change that way.
Yeah, you mentioned, and I wrote it down a couple of times, because you are being really focused on something so important in the nub of the heart of the issue. And you mentioned the word opportunity. You mentioned the word inspire several times. And that's how we want to approach social media. It is about sharing. It is about personal. It is about touching people that you may or may not have seen in decades, but you had such a personal, close relationship with, let's say it was high school or it was university or it was romance or whatever it was. And now to relate again and not just have drifted away and create an opportunity, which is what music is about, in my humble opinion, to touch somebody's soul. For instance, again, Danny's being a little bit, not a little, he's being very humble. He is credited with creating the term social network marketing. But think of it in marketing in the sense of marketing of self and ideas and transformation. And the other day we were talking and he said a great line. It's called life's symphonic curve. Life's symphonic curve. You even hear it, you can feel it. It has a melody to it. And he said, it's part of the personal transformation, which is a lifelong journey. Now, I want to go back into your past a little bit, because I know that you worked with a group that I was very high on for a long time, and I mean that in many ways, and that was Weather Report. So if you could just speak for a few minutes to your involvement at all with Weather Report and what they did, because at the time when they were playing, they weren't just a group. I think they were one of the leaders in the whole movement of bringing what other people call jazz, but I call just great music, to a larger audience.
Yeah, cool. That's amazing, that question. So brief, how, I'm a little younger than like when Weather Report was, in their heyday. I didn't really get to experience that. I was just a young kid. But I met Tony Zavino, who's the son of Joe Zavino, who passed, over a decade ago. And Joe was the amazing keyboardist. He wrote the great song, Mercy, 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 which appears all throughout Wolf of Wall Street, by the way, like 3 times in that movie. And so he was with Cannonball Adderley and had that huge hit. And then he went on and joined Wayne Shorter, formerly of the Miles Davis, group. And of course, Wayne had his own career to form Weather Report. So right there was two incredible jazz luminaries. And then eventually they ran into this guy, Jaco Pastorius, who's, the biggest innovator in the bass and unfortunately died fairly young. And so as together as a group, they created this movement in jazz, which is just truly revolutionary in the 70s and then in the 80s. And it was jazz fusion. There was a lot of great artists around then, but certainly Weather Report was at the pinnacle. So I got to work with Tony and it's not done yet, but we worked on a documentary about Weather Report, and it's called This Is This, which is the name of one of their records. And, you know, Tony, obviously very, very close to the whole subject. We got to hang out with all these great guys like Peter Erskine, the drummer, and got to, you know, hang out with Wayne, Wayne Shorter. And,
and Wayne, then, I like it. Wayne, guest, not Wayne Shorter.
Yeah, exactly. And as a jazz musician myself, like, what a thrill it was just to be connected and to be connected with this project. And,
so wait, are you the producer of the project?
Well, Tony's the lead producer. With you know, he created. I joined on as a co-producer or and such, and just to help them raise money. We raised money about $70,000 on through crowdfunding, and you know, I was just kind of in that role of, which I love to do, and being supportive of getting the project done, whether it was they're supporting with making interviews happen, or also from the standpoint of organizing and keeping this thing together. So now Tony's in, I'm not really involved now because Tony's been in post for a while, and now pretty soon this thing will be coming out. So this will be coming soon. And this genius guy named Ken Kubernick, he's a writer, was involved in this. His encyclopedic reference, as he's another producer, to Weather Report was incredible. So this Ken Kubernick and his brother Harvey have written some great music books. So I got to work with Ken, which was also a joy. So Weather Report. And of course, here's something that's very interesting musically. Joe Zawinul wrote the only song that's been honored in four different decades with a Grammy Award for the best, you know, for best record. So I'll play the song right now. It goes,
yeah.
So Weather Report won a Grammy. Manhattan Transfer won a Grammy. Of course, Quincy Jones did this really cool, like, hip hop urban version that won a Grammy in another decade. And then in the 2000s, a Latino group recorded Birdland. So in four different decades, this song won best record in different genres, which is just incredible. And that was Weather Report's biggest hit.
You're touching my heart, because I am, yes, chronologically older than you, and grooving to Weather Report. So I'm tingling, and I'm looking forward to the release of This Is This. But speaking of awards and winning and things like that, let's be realistic, Mr. K. You're not a lightweight, because you've won some awards, right? When you made allusion to the alumni award, that wasn't just from a high school or a college. I mean, that was a really good award. And as well as you have a BMI Composition Award, I think you've been involved with ASCAP. Is that not correct?
Yeah. So I've written some orchestral and classical works. It's not something I do now. But that background was incredible. I studied classical composition, and so I won two ASCAP and two BMI awards, which, you know, was pretty phenomenal. And the people I got to meet, you know, you go to New York and they do the awards, and here I am, this kid from Cleveland, and it was a lot of fun, and very fortunate that I had that background, that kind of core of writing music, symphonic music, and, you know, that kind of education to carry into not only then the jazz vocabulary, but also in the vocabulary, what I'm working on now, which is really this more very, it's kind of like a pop-ish, it's like Radiohead meets the Beatles meets some, you know, modern, like Frau Frauers, kind of modern electronics. So I'm really excited about that project as well. But everything you do in the past informs your future. And that's, you mentioned or alluded to earlier about that transformational of life never ends, right? You're constantly transforming. You're constantly challenging yourself, and everything, no matter what, good or bad, this is so important for people to feel in their hearts, that everything in your life, every experience, is what informs where you are today, and what informs who you get to be as a person, to not only live your dream, but to inspire others into their dreams, and to be present for others and take a stand for justice and equality and all these amazing things you represent, Barry. So, and love, right?
Love. Now, speaking of that, I'm going to just make a moment. So my world is acronyms and things like that.
Love it.
Is an acronym that stands for Living on Vibrant Energy.
Ooh, wow.
I thought you'd like that because I want to move from love and inspiration to something that I know you're involved with on a couple of levels. And one of them is angels. Let's talk about angels, because I think angels figure prominently in everyone's life, but not everybody recognizes all the time. Tell us, you've been touched by angels, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first area of me really being connected and aware was my mom had leukemia, and the worst kind, the acute kind, that where you're in the hospital for 9 months and the doctor is saying, well, she's not going to live through the night. And just that sort of angelic presence of energy and the source coming to light to connect with creating healing in her body was just a true miraculous experience, and was me personally, my real first connection with angels and talking to them and listening to angels, because angels are always talking to us, or I'll speak from me. Like, angels are always talking to me, but a lot of times I'm not listening. And when I take that moment to pause and meditate and really hear what angels have to say, no matter what, and usually the best place is in the car for some reason, just the closed doors, that little place, that space, right?
Right. But
there's words and inspiration that just come to me, and it's available for everyone. Everyone's angels. I have this weird gift where I could look at someone, and I could tell them how many angels they have. And Barry, you have 13 personal guardian angels.
Wow. Thank you.
Which is just incredible. Yeah. So I don't know how I get it, but what it is like, you literally, I believe in channeling and the ability of information to come to you. How does Einstein or anyone come up with an idea or whatever? It's because they're channeling just these ideas that come from the universe. And I truly believe in channeling angels and the thoughts. So when I'm with certain people, certain friends, I can immediately connect to them and channel something that their angels are trying to say to them. I'll just say something and go like, how did you know that? I'm like, well, your angel just told me. And it's not like all of a sudden I get hit in the head or something. Like, it's just this thought just comes in. You're like, well, where did that come from? I'm going to say it, And I think that's a lot of things. Like, people will hear a thought. They'll feel an inspiration. Just saying it, like, speak the words, inspire someone around you. So, And then one other little thing about angels, there's this amazing book called Interview with an Angel by a guy named Stephen Thayer.
I'm sorry, Interview with an Angel.
With an Angel.
And the author is Stephen, but it's spelled, how does it spell?
S-T-E-V-A-N-T-H-A-Y-E-R.
Stephen Thayer. Okay, Interview with an Angel. Yes, please.
Yeah, and I bought this book for more people than anyone, than any other book. It's essentially, this guy was, Stephen was a Reiki healer, and he had this client who would come in and get healings. And so what happened is Stephen then would go into this trance, right? And he would start saying things to this client, and this client was Jewish. She was this wonderful woman who was she was an educator of some sort or what have you. And, it just nails home the point of angels being all encompassing, all religions and everything. Right. And so she would go into the sessions. He would go into this trance, and I've seen him do this in person. It's the real deal. And then the name of his angel he was channeling was Ariel. And she was able to ask this angel so many profound questions that were from Ariel, about life and death in the afterlife and love. And so the book is fascinating because it's one of the few books I personally really connected with, which is I feel it's truly channeled. It's truly coming from this otherworldly angelic being. And the answers are very profound. And it's not like, and I'll tell you this, when you ask your angels, hey, what should I do? They're not going to tell you what to do. They're going to say, what do you think you should do? And that's what the book's like. It's not like the answers are all direct, but they're very, like, very encompassing and open. And, like, truly the spirit, you know, the mother, the God, is being channeled through the voice of Ariel, this angel, and we're hearing such beautiful words, and so a great book.
That is absolutely, this is so wonderful, because your soul is channeling creativity and music. We have a number of questions up on the board here, and they're all dozens and dozens of questions. There, some of them are almost all the same, in the sense of, because we're talking to you, you angel Danny Kay, because that's what you are right now. How do you feel about the power of music? What does music mean for you in terms of what it does and is in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, music is a singular voice, right? As you mentioned, symphonic curve. Like, to me, music of every variety, every type, every message, it's a singular voice of the planet. It's like, it's almost as if, or the universe, it's like that one tone that resonates, you know, from inside of us. It's something, when we're listening, that music becomes that voice of inspiration, becomes that voice of healing, becomes that voice of personal challenge. You know, you go work out at the gym and you're like, you know, Rocky or whatever, that's what's inspiring you, or the latest EDM from Zed, whatever that is, all the way to hearing symphonic music or being inspired by just different voices, or a song about breakup, or a song about, you know, new love. It's music tends to not only have the message in lyrics, or, you know, of course, then music without words, but it also has that message of truly connecting to our soul. The vibration of music is what vibrates inside us. When we connect with that, it's beautiful. And it's all types of music. It's hip hop. It's jazz for some people, you know. The relationship of me personally to music is, it's like the music of life. I once wrote this silly song. It was like called The Music of Life. I don't think it was a very good song, but and then Duke Ellington very famously said in my that music is my mistress. And ooh. And you know that what he meant, Duke meant, was music is my soul. It's my muse, right? Duke had a beautiful family in Mercer, and I'm fortunate to know his grandson, Paul Ellington, who just posted the cover page to his script. And he's won all these awards. He's an amazing scriptwriter, Paul Ellington. He just posted the cover to his script called Music Is My Mistress. So I'm like, whoa, yes.
Oh, you know, that is just so good, because the Duke was somebody special.
Oh, yeah. Undoubtedly. Oh, he was a humanist, you know, like a humanist artist. And what I mean by that is his art, you know, it transcended all races and boundaries. And he told so many great stories through his music. It's just, I'm speechless when they think about Duke, you know.
Yes.
April 29th, he just had his, he's born April 29th, so he's celebrating his birthday a couple days ago.
Whoa, I'm so glad. You see, this is the genius, because time is sort of expansive in the sense that, okay, we call this May 1st, but really the day called April 29th has a resonance to it, since we're talking about music, a little before and a little after it. So we're still within the penumbra of the Duke and his birth and his movement through the world, because he never died. He just passed through and left us this amazing legacy. I love these words that you use about vibration and the voice of inspiration. I'm just going to go back to one of the ways that we discussed the word create, is that it stands for causing, rethinking, enabling all to excel. So when you create something that can touch the very beings of people through music, through the medium of film, through voice, through comedy, in any mechanism that is really tuning in, as you said, to the singular voice of the universe. That's a great line. And you can listen, and listen, as you know, has the same letters as the word silent.
Wow, so, that's cool.
And as you know, being a composer, that it's not stringing notes together, as I think the Duke actually quoted as saying, or somebody in his era, it's the silence between the notes that oftentimes is as telling as the actual note itself. So to be silent and to be able to listen, or to enlist, same letters, the ability to listen and be silent really is what sometimes causes this vibration to multiply and touch beings anywhere in the world. I'd like to jump to something bizarre, though. Is it talking
Hey,
about...
Barry, you're such a genius. Listen, silent, and Liz. Your mind, you're like, you know, like beautiful mind. You're seeing all these letters, and it's... It amazes me. All right, move on.
Oh, thank you. You like it? Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you.
I love when you do that. It's so amazing.
Well, that's why F you, Danny. We like to have fun. F you.
Well,
and
you know, Gary, I just gotta say, along those play of words, this interview is awful. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's full of awe. It's not awesome. There's not some awe. I'm having an awful time.
Yeah.
I'm full of awe. Somebody got that one wrong, right?
That's so funny you say it, because as you know, again, Danny is an illiterate being. So in the time of Shakespeare and okay, we're going back a long time, but still, awful meant just that full of awe.
Yeah, and okay, exactly.
The term obscene didn't mean what it comes to mean today. It just meant it was off stage. The scene was was pushed aside so that the particular innuendo was never seen, but it titillated the crowd. So that's why it was called obscene. It was out there and you didn't have to see it. Now, of course, everything is in front of you, which makes it less titillating, but as obscene. Isn't that funny how things change? Because the more you see, the less enticing sometimes it is. So it's something, but I want to just go to something that I know that I had asked you to share some intimate things with me. And this is very funny because I'm also a big fan of Gary Larson and his Far Side humor, because I think it does in the space of cartoons or in humor, much like what music does. It's that voice of saying, there's no such thing as a boundary in the sense of positive. And we're talking about good boundaries and breaking through and really expanding the mind and the capabilities of seeing things in a different way. So since you brought up that you like to read The Far Side, you know, just share with us a couple of minutes or even a minute on something that really attracts you about him and stuff.
Well, at the time, you know, Barry... Larson, Gary Larson, yes, the creator, he was just such a genius because he just took one panel cartoons and put all these very, you know, thought-provoking ideas, and very hilarious. Like my favorite one was, it's this guy walking into a shop and the shopkeeper has these like broken glasses, you could see, and there's a little bell there. And the bell's tiny bell's broken. And it's like, you know, it says Bernie the Bellmaker, and Bernie's, you know, it's bust. It's like the sign's got a crack on it. And then the guy says, now look, this is going to be the Liberty Bell. So we expect it to be made with great diligence and skill. And of course, the Liberty Bell is famously cracked. By far my favorite Far Side. But that's the kind of stuff, like, you know, the Far Side is. So it's really one of the, I think a lot of comics tend to be sort of for the era, but, you know, I encourage your readers just to go find some Far Side and look at it, because it's really timeless. It's extremely funny. And even though there's certain social commentary from the time, he's hilarious, you know? Like the reasons dinosaurs went extinct, there's all these dinosaurs back there smoking.
I can see, wait a minute, Danny, I'm looking at that picture right now in my mind's eye. I can see it. The Tyrannosaurus.
See? Looking at the head, see? You were thinking
the,
it.
With this, with the cigarette hanging out of his mouth. So I got to share with you, again, we have, thank God, hundreds of thousands of people listening, tens of thousands of people downloading this, and you want to share it. So I've been negligent. Got to go to barryshore.com. BarryShore.com and click on this podcast and just share, because it's just so sweet and good and loving and beautiful. But my wife Naomi, we're married 42 years, and so I happen to have a very famous Far Side that we love and we laugh at it still, you know, decades later. And it's this picture of husband and wife, and you know, raggedy apron on her, and you know, short sleeve shirt, and there's this gigantic bug that comes into their house, and she says to him, "Step on it, Arnold, step on it." I mean, I'm still picturing as such. So you're right. If anybody has not had the opportunity to look at some Gary Larson, just do it. LARSON. And please go and pick up a copy or look at Interview with an Angel by Stephen Thayer, Thayer. Go look for some Duke Ellington and listen. And remember, F you, everybody. FUNN. We're going to be closing out this section in the next couple minutes before Danny leaves. I'm going to do something really bizarre now, because he talked about the kids. Cleveland, who went to New York and experienced some great jazz people and such, but he also, I mean, this is just too bizarre. He was also involved with the current president of the United States of America, because Dan, The Apprentice. So give us just a minute on your apprenticeship, sir.
Sure. Well, you know, I went down to, at the time I was living in Boston, and went down to like this open call because an employee of mine that was working with me, she was going down. So I'll go along. So I went down, tagged along. I took videos of everybody in line and asked them why they wanted to be in The Apprentice. So they thought I was like a casting person. And then I just kind of, the line was long. I edited it. And then I got to the end and I showed it to the producers. And I said, I don't know if you should cast any of these people. You know, I'm not sure who to pick, you know? So they're like, who's this guy? So they asked me to make my own video. I created a musical called Apprentice the Musical, and it was this 10-minute story of my life, because that's what they wanted, and they said it was the best video of hundreds of thousands they had ever gotten. It was like, they thought it was just perfect, like right on, and had the humor, but still told who I was, and so magically, of course, I got on The Apprentice season 3, and boom, I got to my experiences with Donald Trump, who was, you know, in many ways the same guy, but in many ways kind of a different guy. You know, he seemed a little bit more caring from the standpoint of connecting and listening, and now he's very much does his thing, right? So being on that show was just a great experience to be with the Donald. And he did a little endorsement later on, a little video, he said, you know, Danny's a good guy. Maybe I might have made a mistake when I fired him. So maybe I'm the one guy who he admitted to making a mistake.
Well, I'm glad that we didn't make a mistake. And we invited Danny Kastner, Kastner. You can find this segment on barryshore.com. I urge you not just to listen again, because it's so filled with joy, happiness, peace, and love, but share it. I'm going to give Danny a big embrace. Are you ready for a hug, Danny?
Oh, yeah.
One, two, three.
I love it.
And everybody out there, I wish you all go forth live the blessing, spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you, Danny. Best wishes. Enjoy.
All right. See you, Barry.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.